The Israel Report for the latest news and insights with Anthony Reich.
Anthony Reich, a very, very good morning to you. Wow, what a night in Israel. I don't even know where to start.
Well, when we spoke yesterday, I don't think I could have predicted what the next 24 hours was going to bring. I mean, it was clear yesterday when we spoke that there was an escalation, that there were issues, there was a lot of violence, that there was intent to escalate the situation. The situation in Jerusalem was very tenuous. Jerusalem Day celebrations for Yom Yerushalayim were planned to go ahead. But since we last spoke, Israel has come under a barrage of more than 250 missiles which have been fired from Gaza. And we are, for all intents and purposes, going on to something of a war footing. Bomb shelters are open in Tel Aviv and are also being opened in other areas in the central part of Israel. People in southern Israel have unfortunately endured what can only be described as a nightmare of a night, with the missiles coming in barrages. The city of Ashkelon has been hit, and unfortunately, we have to report that people have been injured. Damage has been caused to property. There was a direct hit on a building in the city of Ashkelon in the early hours of this morning. A family of four were injured. We understand that a gentleman in his 40s is considered to be seriously wounded with injuries to his head as a result of a direct hit on the building in which they lived. His wife has been moderately injured. The children lightly injured in that particular family. So even though our anti-missile system, Iron Dome, has been working through the night to intercept rockets that have been risking life and limb, that have been directed towards residential areas, and it has been extremely effective in the way that it's been working. The truth of the matter is that it's not 100% guaranteed to be able to intercept those missiles that are incoming for a variety of different reasons. We noticed that the way that Hamas operate is that they try to fire missiles in barrages. So they try and fire 15, 20, 30 missiles all at once in an attempt to somehow get through the Iron Dome protection. And every once in a while, they succeed in breaking through the protection. And so the Home Front Command has emphasized to people that as much as we are going to be relying on Iron Dome, and we absolutely do rely on Iron Dome, we cannot wholly rely on Iron Dome. And so therefore we have a responsibility as citizens of this country that when the code red sirens are sounded, that we need to go to our protected areas, we need to go to our bomb shelters in order to provide a further layer of protection against the incoming missiles from Hamas. So all in all, a very, very extreme night. Many people in the south really didn't have much sleep. When I looked through the list of all the missiles that have been incoming through the night, it's just astonishing that there was hardly a break all through the night, missiles being fired towards different areas, mostly in the Gaza, in the Gaza envelope, as they call it, in the Gaza area, the border area around the Gaza Strip, but also towards the Negev, towards the Lachish area, the latest missile being fired only 10 minutes ago towards, again, the area of Kerem Shalom in the Gaza border area. So the Home Front Command have closed all the schools within 40 kilometers of the Gaza Strip. No school today, no activities, no public gatherings at all. And for the area which is 80 kilometers from the border, from the Gaza Strip, which really includes Tel Aviv and a lot of central parts of Israel, and includes Jerusalem, special provisions apply that allow the Home Front Command to order the population to do particular things if required. They have special authority within that area to carry out specific instructions and to order people to behave in a certain way if they feel that this is required under the circumstances. Of course, the IDF has been very much in action retaliating against these strikes. There have been quite a number of sorties flown by the Israeli Air Force. They have been attacking terrorist targets, tunnels near the border fence. The home of a senior Hamas commander has been hit. The Hamas intelligence command in the southern part of the Gaza Strip. They've also hit rocket production facilities and sites, weapons depots, military posts. And we understand that more than 20 people are reported to have been killed in the Gaza Strip, specifically a number of Hamas field commanders. And it's interesting that Hamas have issued special instructions to their field commanders not to travel by motorcycle at all in the Gaza Strip, because there is the understanding that the intelligence is following all of them, and that the moment they go out traveling even on motorcycles, that they are risking themselves because the Israeli Air Force is able to pick them out and to strike them as they move about. And so they've been ordered not to move about on motorcycles. I'm not exactly sure what their mode of transport would be if it's not going to be motorcycles, and how much safer that will be. But it's noticeable that the way that the IDF is operating these days is to have a Shabak agent, an intelligence agent, sitting alongside an Air Force soldier, an intelligence officer, so that they're able to bring the intelligence in real time and immediately transmit that to the Air Force for them to transmit in turn to aircraft that are in the air, so that they can use the intelligence to carry out missile strikes from aircraft in real time, right away, so that there's absolutely no delay in transmitting that information through, and that strikes can be carried out on particular targets right away. So even though the reports are saying more than 20 people have been killed in the Gaza Strip, I think we need to understand that in the most part, and I can't say for sure that it's the case with everybody, but in the most part, the people who are killed are people who have been picked out by the Israeli Defense Force for strikes in order to somehow try to cut the chain of command that goes down, that orders these missiles to be fired. And what's been quite concerning to watch is how many of these missiles are being fired out of apartment buildings. There are some quite remarkable photographs that have been published, I've seen in the local press, which show pictures of numerous missiles, multiple missiles being fired from apartment building, from the top floor of an apartment building, from the floor, from like an internal floor in the middle of an apartment building. All of a sudden you see fire coming out of the window of that particular apartment building. So once again, we're seeing that Hamas are using the strategy of mixing military operations with residential areas, which is, of course, a tactic which we know that they've carried out before, which has been effective for them. And, of course, once again, what's noticeable is that Hamas have spent all of their time, money, energy, development in attack. They are really, they don't really have a defensive system as such. They have got a lot of attack capability, and Israel in turn has spent a lot of its development in defensive capabilities. So what Hamas have worked out is that they don't really need the defensive capability, because actually the Israeli Defense Force does that for them. The Israeli Defense Force ensures that it doesn't hit residential targets, that it doesn't take civilian people out in the process, whereas Hamas are firing all of their firepower towards the Israeli residential areas, towards civilian targets, and understands that they have to try and get through Israel's defenses in order to hit those targets. So that's really the counterbalance that we see, the stark comparison that we have at the moment, with Hamas firing as many rockets as they can towards civilian targets, and of course Israeli defense carrying out the work that they need to do in order to keep the citizens of Israel safe in their homes. Today is expected to be another tough day, with a lot of activity, with a lot of military activity, with a lot of attacks coming from Gaza. So it's difficult to see how this is all going to end. What we do know is that Thursday, of course, is the end of Ramadan. It's Eid al-Fitr in the Muslim calendar, which is a very significant holiday. So we're not quite sure how that is all going to come into play in terms of the way that things are being conducted at the moment.
It, to some extent, it's a little bit perplexing, and I know that I've been talking about what I'm seeing on social media here in South Africa and around the world as well. The Onion posting the most terrible, terrible piece of, I'm not sure what it is, all in the name of satire and humor, which it really isn't, but talking really about blood libel or encouraging blood libel. People here in South Africa saying, you know, why would Hamas do this now when Israel was showing its true colors? Now, of course, that's offensive in so many ways. But that aside, why would Hamas have attacked Jerusalem and the other cities now, given that actually the court of public opinion was very much in support of the, you know, this incident that that with the eviction, etc. It was looking quite negative for Israel in the press. Why would Hamas have done this now? Does it make any sense?
Well, I'm not quite sure how to analyze the timing of this particular attack. What we do know is that there was a lot of focus on events in Jerusalem, on the prevention of so many people from getting to the Temple Mount, from the prevention of so many Muslims from getting to the Temple Mount for Saturday evening, as they'd all wanted to go for the night of Al-Qadir. And of course, we know that the roads to Jerusalem were blocked. We know that there was a lot of focus on this eviction issue. The High Court was due to have made a decision about that yesterday. We know that that also was delayed. But the issue of Jerusalem, and I've said this a number of times and I'm forced to say it again, the issue of Jerusalem is really the one unifying issue across the Muslim world. We saw Iran suddenly getting involved yesterday and making a statement that if the forces were not removed from the Temple Mount, that, you know, there was a deadline that was set for 9 o'clock last night, that there was, that the forces need to be removed from the Temple Mount or else by 9 o'clock. And when people heard this or else, there was a lot of interpretation that the or else meant or else there would be fire on Tel Aviv. A lot of Tel Aviv residents were getting themselves prepared for the possibility that they would come under rocket fire. Certainly when rockets were fired towards the city of Jerusalem yesterday, a red line was crossed. It's not clear why the strategy was to carry out this attack right now. I think that it was just you taking advantage of a particular situation where Jerusalem was really just the center, again, of all the news, and knowing that any attack that they would carry out against Israel would be supported by the Muslim world, bearing in mind that there's been these cracks showing in the Muslim world with the United Arab Emirates entering into peace agreements with Israel, with other members of the Muslim community, the Arab community, showing a willingness to potentially enter into these peace agreements with Israel. There is the knowledge that Jerusalem somehow overrides everything, and that even the United Arab Emirates, which has shown such peaceful intentions towards Israel, would be forced to support anything that the Hamas government in Gaza decides to do against Israel in the name of Jerusalem. So I just wonder whether this is not a reaction to those cracks showing within the Arab world, within the Muslim world, with some of them wanting to enter into peaceful arrangements with Jerusalem, and Hamas saying, hang on a second, when it comes to the issue of Jerusalem, then everybody is going to always support us. And so there was this opportunity to somehow carry out this attack against, you know, against the backdrop backdrop of those events in Jerusalem. That's the only interpretation that I can really lend at the moment to the events and the timing of the events.
Yeah, so unfortunately we do need to leave it there. Anthony Reich, stay safe today. We'll of course keep close to you. We'll keep you, we'll keep chatting to you to understand what is going on in Israel. And let's hope that when we chat tomorrow morning, it will be in a more peaceful